bashers, the environmental thugs, and the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of Common Sense Gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show. Telephone number to be with me is same as always. It's 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. My tea this morning is a handful of various herbs that I grabbed out of a pot outside. Thyme, a little chocolate peppermint, put a bay leaf in, a couple of petals of hibiscus, and it's a good tea. You ought to give it a try. I think it's a lot better when it has natural honey in it, which mine does this morning. So I recommend you give that one a try. We talk about gardening here, organic gardening, landscaping, pest control, compost making, fertilizing, and all kinds of things. I had an interesting conversation with my friend Bob Webster on his show in San Antonio yesterday about fertilizer. He had a conversation with one of his listeners about the fact that compost tea really wasn't a fertilizer, and we got into a little conversation about that. My philosophy has always been anything that provides food to the soil and to the plants is fertilizer, and I want to talk about that a little bit this morning, and we'll talk about chinch bugs already starting to pop up, some questions about that, some of the things that I'm seeing in my garden. We'll do a little in Howard's garden, and we'll work on a little news. There's a new bit of news, unfortunately, about Roundup, more Roundup being used in a kind of a new way, and we'll chat about that. So any of those subjects are fair game, and I don't have a whole lot to cover before we go to the phone, so you can jump on board here, 866-444-3478. I've got some not so good news about our dogs. And by the way, this first hour brought to you by Victor Pet Foods. Victor Pet Foods from East Texas, but available around the country, especially in feed stores, farm stores, and that kind of thing. But the availability is growing. And I recommend the Victor Foods highly. They have no chemical preservatives. None of the products in their inventory have chemical preservatives. They use the natural tocopherols and products that we recommend that are not harmful to your pets. And also they have some grain-free products, a whole line of grain-free products. And they have no corn, soy, wheat, or any of the things that everybody's getting away from, and we certainly agree that getting away from them is a good idea, in any of the products at their plant. So it's a very unusual company, Victor Pet Foods. If the store where you buy your dog food doesn't currently sell Victor, ask them to look into it. And if they don't know where to find the people, they're over in Mount Pleasant. Tell them to contact us, and we will help with that. This week's dog is just three that we need to help, and one of them is Minnie Pearl, still waiting for a home. Lady from last week still waiting for a home. So go to our website, dirtdoctor.com, and check them out. They're great looking dogs, and they sound like they'd make terrific pets. Lacey is this week's dog, and Lacey is a sweet one-year-old Labrador mix, weighing about 59 pounds. And she especially loves going on walks. She was surrendered to the SPCA because her family didn't have the space for her to run around and play. She's been microchipped and currently has all of her shots, knows how to sit and fetch. And she is also house trained already. So check out Lacey on our website. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the button that's the SPCA button of the Pet of the Week there, and you'll go right to photographs of all three of these dogs. We try to help the dogs at the SPCA, but there's a lot of rescue organizations, and whatever one you choose to use, we really appreciate the help. Memorial Day weekend, I know that a lot of you have activities already planned and everything, but I hope you can take a little time to join us. We're on 3 hours here in our local market in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. On 660 AM, we're on across the country in about 200 markets out there. Some of the stations carry 1 hour, some two, some all three. We're also streamed live on DirtDoctor.com. And you can also hear past shows that are podcast. Just, you know, tune in to go to DirtDoctor.com. The podcasts are there, and that's the same place where you can listen to the live streams. We're working on an app, too, so it's going to be easier to listen on your iPhone and things like that. That'll be up and running for you, hopefully, in a fairly short period of time. And by the way, those dogs, those SPCA dogs, are available at the Janry Jones Animal Care Center. And that's near downtown Dallas. It's just west of downtown Dallas. New facilities down there, so you can go in and check out these wonderful pooches and help them out. I appreciate it very much. One of the things that I've done in Howard's Garden that I've always scratched my head about a little bit is the maintenance of our asparagus. I have asparagus growing everywhere. We planted asparagus in landscape beds as well as in a dedicated bed in the vegetable garden and the experimental gardens. And I did the same thing that I did last year in one of the beds. I cut it all the way to the ground, cut all – it already had really big, full tops. And I cut the asparagus back all the way to the ground. Some people don't recommend that. They recommend leaving a few shoots and continuing to harvest some shoots, which I do for a period of time. And then at some point when it gets pretty thick, the new sprouts, the new shoots kind of taper off producing. And so I cut the entire thing back down to the ground. You probably hurt the energy level in the underground part a little bit that way, but you have new sprouts, new shoots coming up in a hurry, and had a whole new round. And so I'm doing it three different ways. I did that in the vegetable garden, and as soon as they get big again, I'm going to do it a second time. I have two other large masses of asparagus in landscape beds, and I'm going to let one of them just go completely full and quit cutting it back at all. And I'm going to do the third one where I'm doing what a lot of people recommend, take off some of the shoots, force some sprouts to come up underneath the ferny foliage that's there. So we'll do all three and see which way we get the best production, not only this year, but what we get long term in the next few years. I did this in the vegetable garden last year, and the production has just been really good. The size of the spears has been really good. The taste and the quantity has been really, really good. So one of the things that Bob and I talked about yesterday was whether compost tea is a fertilizer or not. And I think I consider that it is. But if you've read any of my stuff, any of my books and the website information and all that, I really consider anything that provides nutrients to plants and or the soil a fertilizer, a plant food. And so things like Epsom salts, which some people say that's not a fertilizer at all, it's magnesium and sulfur, I think it is. I think just because it doesn't have levels of MPK, I think that's probably the university definition that it has NPK, and that makes it a complete fertilizer. And all that, I don't think it's complete at all. I think it's missing some very important things. I think it's missing synthetic fertilizer, that is. I think it's missing carbon. It's missing a lot of trace minerals. It's missing many things that would make it a true, complete fertilizer like a lot of the organic fertilizers are. And what we got into in our discussion was, what is the fertilizer on the prairie? What's the fertilizer in the forest? Well, it's the debris. It's the organic material, plant and animal, that falls to the ground. Leaves, spent flowers, various stems, various pieces of plant. It's also dead bodies of insects, birds, other animals, all kinds of animals. It's the waste materials of everything from microbes up through insects into larger animals and mammals. All that is part of the natural fertility of those natural areas. So what's the NPK of those things? Well, it's about 111 or less. So we'll talk about that a little more when we come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back right after this.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day, I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, and I am making a change in my pet food recommendations to Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, and gluten, and they're naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor is loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, prebiotics, and probiotics. My dogs Carmen and Tater love the change. I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store and go to VictorDogFood.com. That's VictorDogFood.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Black cow. Mature manure black cow.
If you want the best looking grass in the neighborhood, top dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of black cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in black cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of black cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working black cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best looking grass this summer, apply black cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black cow, the mature manure, black cow.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you, and we're going to go right to the phones. Let me finish up this fertilizer conversation real quickly. The point was that we consider, and Bob, I think, really agreed with me, we have a little bit different points about it all, I guess, but organic fertilizer is everything from compost itself. You can even go back farther than that. You can say that mulch is a fertilizer because proper mulch, shredded tree trimmings, which we recommend more than any other kind of mulch, has protein and carbon in it, a really wonderful blend. That's why it breaks down. It composts so easy, so easily, and it turns into compost right at the surface of the soil, and it releases humic acid and other humic materials and feeds biological activity and is the true natural fertilizer, just the way it happens in the forest and on the prairie and other natural areas. So starting with mulch and then through compost tea, vinegar, molasses, seaweed, in other words, all the ingredients in Garrett Juice. And yes, Garrett Juice, therefore, is a fertilizer, too. In fact, in a perfect world, and we discussed this, once you get the soil relatively healthy, you can do just like Ruth Stout recommended in her books years ago, by doing nothing but putting mulch out every year and keeping the plants as healthy as they can be, just like they would be in a natural situation. That only works in a perfect world where you have the right amount of moisture and clean moisture and all that kind of thing. So we have to supplement it for better results, for production, and for the place to look really well. And to have the proper kind of moisture and the proper kind of trace minerals and to compensate, you know, some of the things that we get that aren't so perfect and that are in the air and in the water and all that. But the bottom line is that any of those things that provide nutrients to plants are fertilizers, not just synthetic things that have real high levels of NPK. It's if you put out compost, nothing but compost every year after you get things in pretty good shape, they'll look beautiful. Potted plants, turf, vegetable garden, herbs, the whole deal. And compost, again, has an analysis of less than 111. So those big old numbers are irrelevant. And for the most part, we were talking about this with some other people recently too. For the most part, pH is irrelevant too, especially in an organic program. There are very few plants, blueberries are one of them, and a few other plants that require certain dramatically lower pH, and it becomes an issue you have to deal with. Pin oaks are in that category. They have to have acid, sandy soil. They don't do well in high alkaline calcareous soils. But most plants, just using the general organic fertility, raising the level of biological activity in the soil, making trace minerals available to the plant, eliminates chlorosis. On organic projects, you rarely see any yellow plants, chlorotic plants, unless you've just got something planted that's ill-adapted to the soil and to the area where it's growing. And if you want to talk about that more, we can. I'll work in a few more points on that as we go. Right now, we're going to go to the phones. First up is Teresa in Dallas. Hello, Teresa.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, we've got a problem with sugar ants on about 20 acres, and I want to figure out how to get rid of them first, basically, I guess, in the backyard. And then see what we can do with some other acres.
All right. Tell me about these ants. What are they doing that's a problem?
Well, there are tons of mounds in the backyard.
Okay.
And I planted some garlic on a raised bed off the ground, and they got up there and ate them.
These ants are eating the plants. Are you getting stung? Are you getting any stings or bites or anything?
No, I don't think they're biting.
Okay. Well, I've never seen sugar ants outside on plants being a problem. That's why I'm scratching my head about this a little bit, Teresa.
It's not sugar ants.
Well, fire ants do eat plants. They do for sure. But if you're not getting any bites and you're not seeing the classic fire ant mounds, it may not be fire ants. We are starting to have some reports, and I've even seen it myself, of having the crazy raspberry ants. Whether they'll eat plants or not, I don't know. The only reports I've had so far are that they get into electrical equipment and things like that and do a lot of damage. When you see them and try to touch them and when you're around them, they're running around real wild and crazy, and I think that's part of how the name came about. So it's possible that you have them. You can kill the ants pretty easily. You can kill them with the product BioWash. You can kill them with orange oil, D-limonene or orange oil, used at 2 ounces per gallon of water. When you spray the areas where they are and attempt to kill them, if you put the D-limonene or orange oil in with a Garrett juice mixture, it'll still kill and you'll do some foliar feeding at the same time. And it seems to make the efficacy and the long-lasting situation from the spray work a little bit better. So those are ways you can go. You can also go with essential oils. If you go to the store, if you want to buy a product that's an essential oil that's labeled for outdoor pest control use and that sort of thing, the one that you'll find all over the place, big box stores and independent places as well, is called Eco Smart. And it contains what's called essential oils.
Okay.
And all of those will kill those ants. Try to get them identified a little bit better, too, if you can, and let me know, and maybe we can give you even some better advice. But that'll do it for now.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
I appreciate it. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to ecosafepest.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is kneaded and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Phone number is 866-444-3478. Is it Rolene?
Good morning.
Good morning. Is that right, Rolene?
It is Rolene.
In Vernal, Utah. What can I do for you today?
Well, I think this answer is not on your webpage, Howard, but it's the same old flare on the tree problem. But in this case, we have Canadian reds. They're probably 15, 20 feet tall. They've been in the ground 4 or 5 years. They were planted too deep to start with, and we have sprinklers there. Kind of gathers the water, compound the problem. We cut 12-inch, like it's not PVC, but it's a corrugated irrigation pipe, collars to keep from mowing, hitting the trees when we mow and weed eat.
Mm-hmm.
That's about 10 inches deep, so we've got the 10-inch hole that collects the water. And then we've got the just planted way too deep, so I can't visualize how to expose the flare and still what to do with that 10-inch hole around each tree that's 10 inches deeper than the level ground.
Well, that's what we deal with all the time, Rolene, when we expose flares. We've exposed flares that have been 10 feet in the ground.
Oh.
And when you do that, the one that was 10 feet deep was actually done by the homeowner down in Waco, Texas, and it was they had to build a deck over it, you know, to make it safe for people walking by and everything.
Oh.
That's very unusual, but in most, what's not unusual is removing the soil from flares that are in the ground, say 4 to 12 inches. That's very, very common.
And we tend to not just do a hole straight down. Sometimes you have to if there's not room. But if there's room, what you do is you create kind of a saucer-shaped effect. And so that there's a dish kind of in the ground, and you leave that open. You leave that open and exposed. It'll kind of surprise you how quickly the flare will enlarge, and as grass grows down in a little bit, you let it happen to a degree. You just make sure that it doesn't get soil and mulch washed back in it and build back up over a time. But you leave the hole open. But the first thing you need to do is widen the hole and make it sloped out like it's a dish in the ground.
Do you have any idea with the height of the trees, how wide I need to make the dish?
No, you have to play that by ear and be very careful as you're uncovering the soil, especially if you're doing it with any hard equipment. And what happens is when a tree is, or any woody plant is has been set too deep in the ground, those roots that are down there at the true crown at the flare start growing back up, you know, trying to get back up to the oxygen at the surface. And that's usually, and that varies as to how far out that will be. And as you remove the soil, you're going to start running into some of those roots trying to come back up. And that's as deep as you can go right there. So that's going to determine how wide that excavation of soil can be.
It sounds to me like we have five of them in a row. They're probably, the width, the same width as the height. So it sounds like I may just have to have that whole area excavated down and not have the grass in any of it, because I'm going to have five big open dishes that are probably 6 to 10 inches deep.
Well, you can do that. You could you could excavate the whole area. You'll have to be careful working around the roots that have come back up to the surface. And then you can plant grass down in there. You don't have to leave it completely bare. We just recently helped a golf course do exactly this. There was one of the golf holes had been filled on years ago with the worst soil you can use, you know, stuff that had been dredged out of the ponds. And we removed 24 inches of soil from the base of some trees, and we have dishes on this golf course that go out 20, 25 feet in diameter.
And
24 inches deep. What we've done in some cases is we've made those big depressions contain 4 or 5 trees. So it's exactly what you're saying. In some cases, an entire area was lowered. We worked on a project years ago, probably 5 years ago or a little bit longer, in downtown Fort Worth. It was originally the Radio Shack project, 40 acres downtown Fort Worth, and there were these old 75-year-old to 100-year-old live oak trees on the property. And the architect brought me in as the arborist and also to write the organic specs, and we removed – in one place where these big trees are, we removed an area probably of 1,500 square feet of soil, 2 or 3 feet deep.
Holy moly.
And then in other cases, we couldn't do it because the roots had come up to the surface and we had to just go almost straight down. And then in a couple of cases, put a protective deck over the hole that was created. So the answer is you do whatever you have to do to get down to the flare, and you go out as wide as you can so it looks as natural as possible.
Just real quickly, we lost one tree because we have the sprinklers there, and we felt that it's when they put the lawn in, unfortunately they got it a little slope. The slopes toward the tree, so it was collecting more water, and we felt like that we lost the tree from too much water. So is this dish going to again collect too much water?
Well, just think about it this way. When the soil is up on the flare and on the trunk, that area stays moist all the time because it has it has soil touching it. When it's an open dish, even though it fills up, and I've taken some pictures and put them on Facebook of some of my trees that I've uncovered, and during and right after a rain, the dishes are full of water. but they drain out and they dissipate, and so you're keeping the trunk wet a much shorter period of time than if the soil was still there. If you do think it's a problem, or if it is for whatever reason, you can take an air spade or do it with hard tools and dig a trench from the low side, small ditch, out to a lower point, fill it full of gravel, and set up a drainage way out of those depressions.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The trees will love it, even though it's going to look a little funny for a while.
That's okay. They smell so wonderful in the spring. I'm sure it's heaven's cookies.
You said these are Canadian reds?
Yes.
I'm not used to that common term there. What's the genus?
I don't know. We plant them in Utah. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know that. We plant them in Utah. That's what they're called, or Canadian reds. They start out green, and then they get it turns red. But the blossoms in the spring
have white flowers.
They have little white.
Okay, I know exactly what you have. You have Canadian red choke cherry. Canadian red choke cherry. I've got one at home, and I've got two at the office in my experimental gardens. I love it. I've just never heard that common term used. That's kind of a cool term.
Oh, okay.
Send me some pictures. I'd love to see what yours look like.
Okay, and. Do your flowers smell like what Heaven's Cookies probably would?
Yeah, it's very closely kin to our native escarpment wild cherry.
Oh.
And they both have wonderful fragrance, and both plants are plants I recommend. And when you have a plant that'll grow in Vernal, Utah, and in Dallas, Texas, or San Antonio, that's a neat deal.
I know. Well, thanks so much. I always enjoy visiting with you. You're doing a great service. I'm trying to get more people to listen to you.
Well, great. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your day.
You too. See you later.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Enjoy this Memorial weekend with whatever you have going. Our guys, you know, I was in the service. I never got, you know, had to go overseas. I stayed here the whole time. And all but the guys that did go, especially those that lost their lives and or got hurt severely, that's what this weekend is all about. Telephone number, 866-444-3478. And if you just heard part of that conversation, this tree that we're talking about, again, is she calls it Canadian red, Canadian reds, what we call it, and it's on my website. You can see photographs of some of the Canadian red choke cherries that we have. I had this little tree for a long time without knowing what it was. I got it in one of the native plant sales. I think it might have been in the Heard Museum several years ago. And like she said, it comes out green in the spring, real pretty green, kind of change, real light green, changes to a darker green, and then flowers, white flowers that are very fragrant. And then all of a sudden, the leaves start turning red, and they turn a real pretty red and stay red all summer. It's kind of like one of the real pretty, although not nearly as healthy, purple leaf plums do. And then in the fall, that red turns to a darker red purple, so it has beautiful fall color as well. And the thing must be able to grow anywhere in the United States, so you might want to check it out. It won't be the easiest tree to find for you, but there are companies. I've found a mail order place doing a search that sold some. We bought some by mail orders where we got the second round of them. Open lines for you at 866-444-3478. I'll take Christina this call, and if we don't get finished, we'll hold you over for just a little bit. But what's up in Waxahachie?
Well, I have a problem.
Okay.
Make a long story short, and don't worry, I'm not going to mention the name of the company. A local company put a product, pure nitrogen, on my lawn. I've been, by mistake, there were supposed to be two streets over.
That happens all the time, Christine, unfortunately.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So I would like to know what damage was done, because like I said, I've been pure organic for 9 years.
Well, I will tell you what to do, and I would tell you this, too, is to call them and tell them they get to pay for it.
Sir, Oh, dear.
Yeah, tell them that.
That was going to be my second question.
It's not going to cost a lot of money, but it's their responsibility, and let them pay
for
it. I
agree, but he's already told me he's not going to do it.
Not going to do it. Nice guy.
To do it. So it looks like there's going to be an argument fight involved. Is there? This was my second question, but I'm going to go ahead.
Okay. Well, the first one, what we do is the detox program. Do you know if it was, I'm keeping my fingers crossed here, was it a weed and feed fertilizer or just a high nitrogen synthetic fertilizer?
He says it was just high nitrogen.
Okay. Can you hold on with me so we can go through it? There's a lot of people that run into this, and we'll talk about it in detail when we come back. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, talking about detoxing land where somebody messed up your organic program. When I come back, 866-444-3478.
We all know that humans need probiotics, but your dog needs probiotics too. Some dogs have chronic digestive issues just like humans. Probiotics will aid digestion and help improve overall immune health. Hi, I'm Gail Pruitt, certified nutritionist and author of the Doggone Good Cookbook. I do nutritional research for both humans and canines, focusing primarily on digestive issues. So whether your dog has chronic digestive issues or just the occasional upset, I recommend that you give your dog a daily probiotic to balance your dog's gut flora. You know, eating right and taking the right supplements are so important for your good health and for your best friends. And the best probiotics I've found is Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. So make sure the nutrients you and your dog eat are providing the maximum benefits. And always share your Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Your dog will love you for it.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Okay, gardeners and farmers, for over 30 years, Arbico Organics has been a leading provider to growers nationwide. Arbico Organics offers beneficial insects, natural fly control, mosquito control, beneficial nematodes, grub and beetle control, insect traps, and many other pest solutions. Call 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847 to speak with one of their friendly specialists, or go online to arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone number 866-444-3478. We were talking with Christine, and hopefully she's still there. Christine?
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, here's what we do. If it had been a weed and feed, it would have been a lot bigger problem than just a high-nitrogen synthetic fertilizer. We're pulling people off of that kind of program all the time and going into the organic program. It's really frustrating when you've been organic for a long time and have built the biological activity and have all the carbon in the soil and the trace minerals and all that, and then you foul it up with this unbalanced stuff.
Yeah.
But it's pretty easy to get back. First of all, what kind of organic fertilizer have you been using in the past?
Oh, I can't remember the name of it.
But a commercial one, a blend kind of
like
a product? Okay.
Something about a cow, or not black cow, but another one that sold
it. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
What we do in this situation is we just kind of beef up the organic fertilizer. And the first thing I would do in your case, I would put out dry molasses at 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet.
Okay. Unfortunately, I don't have a computer, so I'm going to have to write all this down.
Okay.
Beef up. Say that again.
Well, the thing I would do first is put out a sugar like dry molasses. Dry molasses you can get from local feed stores or garden centers. Put it out at 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. And then the second step, and this is just kind of a beefed up version of what I'd recommend for you to do anyway. The next step is we want to spray Garrett juice. And you can make it yourself from my formulas in my books, in addition to being on the website, or you can buy commercial products. But we want to do something, one thing a little bit different in this case. We want to add orange oil to the mixture at 2 ounces per 1,000 square feet.
Okay, Two
ounces per gallon, per gallon of the Garrett juice, and it will go out of a gallon, will cover about 1,000 square feet. And what that does is that makes, it does an organic feeding, but when you use a small amount of orange oil, it really helps to kick up the biological activity. The dry molasses really does as well. The damage that synthetic fertilizer does, the main damage it does, other than volatilizing and being air pollution and leaching through the soil because it's soluble and all that. But it also is antagonistic and damaging to mycorrhizal fungus, this beneficial fungus in the ground. So what we're doing is we're doing kind of an extra bonus step to your organic program to kick it back up. So okay. Everything will just, you know, move right along smoothly like it was going before they hit you with the wrong kind of fertilizer.
Okay, you said it antagonizes what?
Well, the mycorrhizal fungus, the beneficial fungus, it's just high nitrogen synthetic fertilizer is about the most damaging thing to this mycorrhizae, this beneficial fungus. So we're just trying to kick it all back up and going well. There is an additional step you can take, but I don't think it's necessary in your case if you've had some kind of really toxic material done. And if anybody listening is in that situation, you can add an application of a very fine textured carbon, either activated charcoal or a fine textured humate. You can put it out at about 5 pounds per 1,000 square feet, and it will immediately lock up. If it had been a weed and feed fertilizer, for example, or somebody put some kind of really toxic pesticide on, you'd need to do the carbon application as well. In your case, I think the dry molasses, garret juice, orange oil in it will clean it up, and you'll be back on your way.
Okay. Okay, you said that was a fine-textured carbon, and what was the other word?
Well, either carbon or humate. If you go into stores that sell organic products, they will have what they generically call humate.
Okay.
And it's humic material. It looks like black gunpowder if you find one that's a real fine texture. And that's what you want to use.
Finer... I'm going to have to step inside because the train's coming
okay.
by. I'm sorry.
Well, I think we're done anyway. I'm going to need to move on and help some other people, Christine. You don't even need to do that. That was for other people that might have a lot of pesticide contamination or you know, some other toxic material. In your case, just do, once again, dry molasses, garret juice, and 2 ounces of orange oil. And if you have something else, call me again. Let me help some other people, though, right now. Richard in San Antonio is next up. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing good.
I had a question, Howard. We're about to buy a house in west side of San Antonio, and
uh-huh.
the backyard, I would say, you could call it neglected. It gets full sun, and my plan is to come in and overseed with Bermuda and then top it off with a dressing of compost. Is my timing off, or what else would you recommend?
You have bare areas and full sun. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Towards the rear where the sprinklers are, you can tell there's some greening, but closer to the house.
Put out the Bermuda right now. It's perfect time. Don't put a whole lot of compost out. Just put a light dusting of compost out. It's kind of like a mulch for the seed as it starts to come up. And then you can put a little heavier application or some organic fertilizer once you get the grass up to a point of being ready to mow it the first time.
That'll
work fine. If you treat the seed with garret juice, either before it goes out or after you've put it on the ground, just spray across it with garret juice. It'll help even out the germination and give you quicker germination.
Right. Thank you much.
I appreciate the call. And I appreciate everybody being there on this Memorial Day weekend. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The telephone number is 866-444-3478. Our website, dirtdoctor.com. You can get our free newsletter by filling out the form that's right on the homepage.